that might backfire on you. You think, oh, let me take a little puffy puff and then go and get my hoo-ha waxed. You might end up in a full-blown meltdown and have to run out of there with no pants on. Hey, hey, Booby Squad. Welcome back to another episode of Staying Inspired with, as always, your host and hype woman, Amanda Yoa. I got a powerful, packed with a punch episode for you all today. As usual, you know, I always bring it. I always bring it for my gals. We're going to be talking all the things. I got some things I want to chat about. I also have a very special guest, Michelle Emick. Michelle is an entrepreneur. She is the co-founder of the magazine Ask Us Beauty, publication that celebrates people, stories, and brands such as Robin Roberts, Christy Brinkley, and Maria Shriver. She's co-host of the award-winning podcast, She's a 10 times 5. She spent 20 years of her career working in the field of medical aesthetics as a sales and operations leader and shared her experiences inside her number one best-selling book, Blue Collar Beauty, Confessions of a Plastic Surgery Coach. So if you've been dabbling with the idea of, should I get plastic surgery? Should I get this done? Should I get that done? This filler here, Botox here, pull this up here, pull this down here, tighten this here. Should you get it? Should you not get it? Should we judge? Should we not judge? Stay tuned and you'll find out. Juicy, juicy conversation. So can't wait to get into that. All right. Before we skip along our merry way, I wanted to give a quick shout out to the staple of my morning regimen. Yes, that's right. Coffee is a thing of the past. I am focused AF. I am energized AF. And come 2 p.m., I'm not fiending for that cup of coffee to keep me going. That's right. Why, you ask? If this is the first time you're ever hearing me go on a rant about this wonderful little bottle of potion, why? Because of Magic Mind. I never talked to you guys about what was included in this little two-sip shot of magic. So each shot contains a magical combination of 13 active ingredients designed to boost energy, focus, creativity, and motivation while reducing stress and fatigue. We got the matcha, we got the nootropics, lion's mane mushrooms, all the goodness. Some of them I can't even pronounce, so I won't put you through that. We got adaptogens such as ashwagandha and turmeric. And we got the immunity. We got the vitamin C, the vitamin D to support a healthy immune system. I mean, you can't go wrong. So check out magicmind.com. Use the code GOLFRIEND and get yourself 20% off your order. Trust me, you got to check this out. I'm telling you right now. So let's go. I want to talk to you all about something. The Kentucky Derby. It's this weekend. Now, I grew up in the realm of, my grandfather was a, I guess what you would call a bookie. For those of you who don't know what a bookie is, look it up. But he was a, you know, he ran the street numbers. So horse racing was always something that we, you know, when Derby season was here, you know, you got the Belmont, Kentucky Derby, you got the Preakness. It's an exciting time. I always do my research, but I've always had this bucket list dream of going to the Kentucky Derby. I mean, who wouldn't, right? Like, let's think about it for a minute. We're at the Kentucky Derby. Everyone is dressed to the nines, right? Like dressed in your Sunday's best on a Saturday. The skies are blue. There's not a cloud in sight. The weather is beautiful. The mint juleps are just hitting like no other. You get to dress, you know, in your most creative outfit with the hats that will always catch everyone's eye. I mean, it's just an experience that I've always watched on TV and just really wanted to take a part of. So I can't wait. This year, it kind of stinks a little bit. I normally either host a party because it usually coincides with Cinco de Mayo. But this year my daughter has a softball tournament. So I'll be watching and screaming like a psycho on the sidelines at my phone screen, you know, yelling for my horses. I didn't do my research yet, but let me know. Am I the only one? Have you always aspired to like go to a Kentucky Derby? I just want to sit with all, you know, the people all dressed up with like my hat, bright colored hat. I feel like I would wear like a royal purple or like a bright pink, very on brand, with just this enormous hat, of course, extra, extra. Yeah. So Kentucky Derby is here. Let me know. Is going to the Derby on your bucket list? Have you been to the Derby? I'd love to hear all about it. How is it? How are the mint juleps? Let me know. But maybe I'll make a mint julep later on Saturday night in celebration of, hopefully, my horse that will win. But anywho, in other news, I'm sure you saw, we had little Miss Anna, who's not so little anymore. She's pretty much as tall as me. My 10-year-old, she was on a bonus episode of Take Your Daughter to Work Day. Anna enters the chat. And I was so proud of her in that moment. I have to tell you, I don't know how I held myself back from crying. I don't know how I did it, because girlfriend has some big dreams. She aspires to be in front of the camera in some way, shape, or form. She wants to be, a sports anchor or a sports analyst. The girl you see on the sideline interviewing the players, talking about the game after the game. She's just always aspired to do that. And I love encouraging and letting her know that her dreams, no matter how big they may seem, they are attainable and they are achievable, and she can go after them, right? Because I know a lot of us have grown up not in that mindset, because we weren't given what we needed. We weren't given the permission to aim for the stars, shoot for the stars, to break your glass ceiling, to do the out of the box thing. I mean, think about it. What 10-year-old girl is like, yeah, I want to be a sports analyst. And let me tell you, girlfriend knows about her sports. She's like a stat queen. Like, she's got it down. She's got it down. So she's got a talent. And I just love doing what I do. Because for me, it confirms that I'm in my passion and my purpose, right? Like, doing what I love. But it also goes back to what I remember as a child. We grew up in that, and this may be very relevant to or relatable to how you grew up, you know, in that generation of do as I say, not as I do, right? And a lot of the time, our parents either A, didn't really encourage us to do hard things because they weren't capable of doing hard things. Or you had those parents that encouraged us to always do our best, to always be our best, but didn't really lead by example, right? Like, I feel like in order for her to be fully supported and to have the tools that she needs to feel like she is capable, that she can achieve, that she can believe in herself, that breaking her glass ceiling, breaking out of the norm, and doing something that's amazing is truly possible by leading by example. So I love that she was able to come on the podcast, because A, just seeing her light up just lit me up. I'm like, you got it, girlfriend. This is your jam. Like, that was confirmation for me. And I know it was for her, because that's all she talked about afterwards. She told everyone about it. Her teacher wrote me and was like, Anna told me she was on your podcast. She was so excited about it. Meanwhile, she said on the podcast that her teacher was annoying. I'm like, what are you doing? And we forgot that she said it. So, you know, as teacher, if you're listening to this, I apologize. I apologize. I mean, what kid doesn't say their teacher's annoying? But she honestly loves her teachers. But she, you know, she lit up in that space. And I was curious to see how she would respond. And she exceeded my expectations. In that moment, I knew she had it. And I'm sure we all believe our kids are special, but I think it was so emotional for me, because just seeing how truly talented this kid is at 10 years old to just be herself confidently in such a intimidating environment or situation. I mean, that is something special. So I'm like getting a little emotional talking about it, because, you know, it's something she does struggle with. You know, she struggles with her confidence in social settings sometimes. And I feel like every kid does, especially like, you know, the tween age. They're all crazy with their hormones. This one's fighting with that one. That one's fighting with this one. And I tell her, like, I can't fight all your battles. Like, you have to reach down deep within and remember who you are and stand your ground in those moments, right? But to see her light up in what it is that she wants to do in life for me was like, you got that special spark about you that not everybody has, girlfriend. And I was just so, it was such a proud mom moment for me. And I know that she's going to go on to do amazing things. But for me, my greatest achievement is leading by example, showing her that maybe at one point in our life, what we think is not attainable is attainable. What we feel like may be unachievable is achievable. If we believe in ourselves, if we pour into ourselves, if we push ourselves out of our zone of comfort and do that thing that may be scary or unknown, because the reward from that is bigger and better than you could have ever imagined. And if I can lead by example and show her that, that's the greatest accomplishment that I will ever achieve as a mother. So I wanted to bring that up because it's important to encourage your children to do hard things. And one of the ways you can encourage them by is not just by speaking those things to them. It's by living those things, taking action, walking the walk in the talk that you talk to your children. So I was really, really so proud of her. But I was also so proud of me in knowing I came such a long way as a mom and as a woman, as a human out here on these streets living this crazy experience. Because 5 years ago, I don't know if I would have had the strength to do what I do today for my children. I wouldn't have had the confidence. I wouldn't have had the self-worth. I wouldn't have had the self-love. So if you were in a season of feeling that way and feeling like you can't show up for your children, start reaching down deep within. It's there within you. It's there within you. Sometimes our children show us through their actions what's inside of us, right? We always talk about how great our kids are. Girlfriend, you created that. That is your blood. That is you, right? Like, yeah, we're all different, but I feel like we get a lot, our children receive a lot of who they are from their parents, especially their mothers. So if you are not aligned with that in this moment, use your children as a source of inspiration and know that the greatness that you see within them resides inside you as well. And I always call it that quiet whisper that turns into the loud roar if we let her speak up and be heard. So let girlfriend be heard and let her speak because she's got lots to say. Okay. Hey, guess what, goal friends? Yes, I'm interrupting this episode to tell you that I'm officially launching my merch line, Staying Inspired merch, where every piece isn't just apparel, it's a whole anthem. Not just a vibe, but a whole movement, baby. A statement that roars louder than words, defining what it truly means to stand out as a woman in today's world. Staying Inspired is more than a brand. We're a revolution to empower, uplift, and redefine womanhood. Each piece stamped with confidence, ambition, and fearless vibes. By wearing Staying Inspired, you don't just flaunt a look, you amplify a message, a commitment to yourself to shattering glass ceilings and creating a world where every woman thrives. We got something for every woman as well as the mamas. That's right. We got a Mommy and Me legacy line where fierceness of womanhood meets the tenderness of motherhood. Check us out at AmandaYowitt.com. All right, I'll let you get back to the episode. All right, let's get into it. Let's be real. Aging and cosmetic plastic surgery. Today I got with me Michelle Emick. We're going to be breaking this down. But first, how you doing, Michelle?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm good. I was just saying my allergies are trying to take me out. You know, it's tough out on these streets. I'm like overdosing on allergy medicine. My kids are a mess and all the things. The season. Another thing that I noticed happens when it abruptly goes from, you know, 60 and rainy to 82 and sunny is I get cankles.
Yeah, the swelling, right?
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff start happening as you get older. I swear to God.
I'm not ready. I looked down. I was like, I'm sitting outside with my husband. I'm already suffering because Aunt Flo is here. And I'm like, I look down and I got two big old cankles. And I'm like, well, that's great. you know, the one day where I need to wear shorts, I have cankles. I'm like, well, I'm not going anywhere today. So that was fun. And then what else did I do yesterday? I went to, I started speaking classes.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
What's that?
Like I say too much.
I say it and I don't even care. This is the part about, I mean, I'm 50 years old. I don't care. I say, like, what are you going to do?
That's my thing. That's what I said, you know, and like doing the show, I think is different from speaking in front of people. But I said, the fact that, you know, I am who I am and I'm just very authentic as myself, that's kind of like my superpower to where I don't have to worry about like saying, and like, and you know what I'm saying? And okay, you know, I'm like, if I take all that away, I'm going to be boring. Exactly. I don't know.
I don't want to think about, I mean, we have a, you know, I have a podcast too, and I don't want to think about my responses all the time. And am I speaking a certain way? I just want to talk. That's the authenticity about it. So that's what I like. Just have a conversation, a casual conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. I get trying to get your point across and you want to convey and like hit home for people. But I think it's also important to keep in mind like that relatability, you know, and when people hear me speak, they're like, oh, like she's just a normal gal. Well, I don't know about normal, but she's just the gal.
What's normal? That's no fun.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, that's what's going on with me. I was like holding my eyelids up. I'm like, you know, speaking of plastic surgery, my eyes are just puffy. They look like I need a little bit of a lid lift. I don't know what's going on here. So tell us a little bit about your background in the plastic surgery.
Oh my goodness. I spent almost 20 years in that field. I had no experience in that. I come from a small town in upstate New York, and I was actually working in the weight loss industry. And I was living down in Florida, and I was ready for a change. And I looked up a job, and it said, "Do you have experience in, you know?" It said like weight loss, or I forget. There was a couple different things, and then it said, "Do you want to make six figures?" And I was like, "Yes, please." I was 23 years old, maybe. And I was like, yes, I want to make six figures. I want that job. So I drove to Tampa and went to the interview, and it went great. I walked out and they called and said, the job is yours. Get on a plane next week and you're flying to the corporate office. Knew nothing, no idea what I was doing. But I did. And I just immersed myself into what I could learn and started working with a plastic surgery company. We were a national chain, the largest plastic surgery corporation in the country. And I learned on the job and it was amazing. Had a chance to meet with, you know, work with thousands of women that were wanting to make a positive change in their life. And I worked with hundreds of doctors. And so that was kind of the genesis of my career. And then I went on and worked with several different companies where we would go in and acquire practices and I did a lot of sales and operational leadership training and so forth. So it was great.
Nice. And I love that you said that, you know, women that want to make a positive change in their life, because that's why I wanted to bring this up, you know, like plastic surgery, cosmetics, to get it or not to get it. You know, I feel like sometimes as women, we judge one another based on work that we get done. And, you know, you see it in the news, you celebrities, they always get things done. Everyone's like, oh, she had this done. She had that done. Blah, 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 blah. You know, do you feel that plastic surgery comes from a place, you know, say a woman makes a decision like, you know what? I want to get my nose done. I don't like how my nose looks. I want to feel more confident. Do you feel that it comes from a place of not loving yourself?
Yes. I mean, I think let's just call it what it is. I mean, it's, you know, I spent years after I worked for different corporations, I had a company called MyCoachMD where I would work specifically with women because it's tough out there. Like we live in a world that judges us by our appearance. And so, you know, there's nothing wrong with wanting to get something done for yourself, but you really got to do a little you got to do a little deep dive into your reading. I always caution people. I'm like, make sure you're doing it for the reasons that you feel good about, not for someone else. So, but yeah, I mean, we look in the mirror every day, all day. We start at a young age criticizing ourselves. We compare ourselves. I mean, I see it now. My daughter's 12. I already see, she's seeing the images of the music they like, the Ariana Grande's and the Taylor Swift's and all this stuff, you know, and they're looking at themselves like, do I look like that? Should I look like that? And so it's just, and then it continues on our whole lives. And so, yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, we want to look and feel our best. And we all have insecurities. And I think it's okay to do something for yourself, but make sure you've done a lot of research and kind of soul searching.
Yeah, agreed. I think that's a good advice to give. And, you know, giving a different perspective too. So I had bariatric surgery back in 2020. And a lot of people judge people who get that done because they feel like, you know, it's not, it's a quick fix or, but I will tell you, and this is different from your response. I made that decision to change my life, to lose weight, to feel better about my body from a place of finally loving myself. Because for the longest time, I hated the way that I looked. I hated my body, you know, and I had to kind of ignore, you know, what you see out on social media of people just accept yourself, just love yourself for who you are and blah, 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 blah. So a part of me was like, am I wrong for wanting to live a healthier lifestyle, to want to feel better in my body? You know, I felt trapped. I felt like the person on the inside was not reflected on who I was on the outside. And I did like every diet under the sun to the point where I killed my metabolism. I was like poster child for this surgery. And I was finally just made the decision, like, you know what, Amanda, this is who I am in the now. I'm going to love this person. I'm going to accept her in the now. She may not be what I want her to be or look like in the now, you know, or in the future, but I'm going to do something about it instead of constantly beating myself up, not loving myself, not accepting myself. But yeah, for me, it was finally coming to terms with, okay, this is what I look like and I need to accept her and love her in order to do something about it.
Yeah. And what I love is that you did the work, right? You did all that soul searching. You said, okay, here's where I'm at and this is where I want to be. So I think it's great. And I'm curious because I've worked with a lot of people that have gone through bariatric surgery and lost a significant amount of weight. How do you feel now? Because I know there's a lot of residual once you have bariatric. Mm-hmm. You're left with a lot of loose skin. It could be sagging breasts, you know. How do you feel? Are you in a space of I'm happy with where I'm at, or do you want to get a mommy makeover and everything else that comes with it?
A mommy makeover is definitely on the list. All right. Yes, we are in it to win it.
Yeah,
I actually had it scheduled and then I canceled it because I got scared.
Well, and again, that's the thing. I don't think a lot of people talk about that. I mean, I'm a huge fan of anything. I mean, medical intervention is great. I don't care if it's bariatric or sleeve or Ozempic or whatever you're going to do.
Right.
People do need to know that that's part one. That's phase one. Mm-hmm. Phase two is you're going to be left with, you know, like I said, the residual, and you want to plan on having, because that's a whole nother thing. I've talked to thousands of women that have said, you know, I did this work and all I see when I look in the mirror is my old self, because they haven't done, you know, the phase two. So it's a constant reminder. So when they thought they would feel good after having it done, they still don't feel good because, you know, they haven't taken it all the way. So I always tell people, I'm like, there's two phases to that procedure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I totally resonate with that. And I'm like all for it. And a part of me was reluctant, you know, like I was like, should I be a part of that? Love and accept yourself in the now, love your body, which I do love my body. I mean, there were times where I would like pray to be like, God, I'd be like happy just being a size 12, like 12, 14, like, can we just make it happen? You know, so I'm super grateful for how I look in the now, but I from losing all that weight, I lost over 100 pounds. I have now, you know, what they call like that little apron, like it's like a mommy pooch on steroids, you know, and it honestly doesn't feel, and this may be like weird to say, and honestly, I feel like you can only resonate when you've gone through like an extensive, losing an extensive amount of weight or, you know, what have you, but it doesn't feel like it's a part of my body. And
well, yeah, I completely understand. So I lost, you know, I lost almost 100 pounds myself from pregnancy when I had my daughter. I was, I was eating away. I was just, And so I immediately started as soon as I had her, after I lost her, I did it through walking on a treadmill and like low calorie eating. It was tough. Now, since then, I've packed some of it back on, but you know, hey, the struggle's real. I talk about that in my book. I used to say that I could open a store called 2 to 12 because you never knew what size I was going to be. You know, people never knew when they would see me. They'd be like, what size is Michelle this month? And I'm like, oh, go F yourself. but yeah, I mean, I get it. I just know, having worked with so many people over the years, like no one is satisfied. No one's in the space of, I love hearing when someone says, I love myself, but I really would say get real, because I feel like there's a lot of self-talk that goes on, whether you're putting a certain face on. It's like social media. People put this face on like, oh, I'm so happy. And then you find out behind the scenes that they're like severely depressed. And, you know, so I think if we really kind of peel the onion back, we've all got some insecurities and, you know, things about ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's important to really, like you said, do that soul searching and see where it's coming from, because then you see sometimes where people will use plastic surgery as a way to mask their trauma and the things that they've been through and gone through. And they just become this, you know, version of that's obviously they're like, what doctor is still working on this person? Because they're obviously not in the best interest of their patients at all.
Yeah, it's so sad. And again, that's why I spent so many years and catapulted into my own business to talk to women and coach them, because when you go in to see a doctor, they're going to give you the feedback based on what they see. And so I always tell women, like, you have to be your own advocate. Like, you've got to stand up and be like, here's what I'm looking for. Not because you will walk out. And I just did this the other day. I don't know, a few weeks ago, a friend called. She said, my daughter's considering, would you talk to her? And I don't really do it that much anymore, but I was like, yeah, I will. So I went through it with her and she called me afterwards. She's like, everything you said was true. Cause she came and she's like, I just want one little area of liposuction. I go, okay, well, there's no such thing. Okay. You're going to go in. They're going to tell you need 360 before you know. She came out. She's like, oh my God. I'm like, I know. And I'm like, but you got to remember, doctors look at things differently, but you have to be confident enough to go in and say, no, this is what I'm looking for. And also be respectful of what, you know, the recommendations. Go get a couple recommendations. But yeah, I mean, I've seen the good, bad, and ugly. And it's so sad to me, because one of the things, plastic surgery is highly addictive. Once you get something, you are going to want something else. Point blank. You get, you know, your breasts done, and the next thing you know, you're like, oh, I could use, you know, my waist could be a little smaller. Or you get Botox and then you're like, oh, my nose could be, it's a snowball. So I always say, be careful and take your time. If you're going to do something, really make sure. So many people would come in and be like, my husband left me for a younger woman. That was a big one. And I'm like, okay, well, this isn't going to bring your husband back. Okay?
Right.
So do this for yourself if you want to look good and you want to feel your best, but just be certain that these things aren't going to, they're not going to fix the pain, anything you've got going on under.
Yeah. And realize, you know, it's kind of like a permanent decision that you're making. You know, there's really no going back. I mean, you could probably maybe go in for like a revision, but it'll never be what it was. You know, so it's something you really got to like, it's not like that spur of the moment or something happened and this is like my emotional reaction to it.
Oh, you'd be surprised how many people do that. And there's a lot of, there's corporate practice of medicine. They have high marketing programs. Again, I talk about all this in my book, but you have to go in, do your research, go in for a couple consultations, because if you're emotionally charged, and women typically make their decisions based on emotion and then they justify it with logic. So they go in and they're meeting with some beautiful girl that's like, oh, girl, I had it done too. They're going to do this. They're going to snatch your waist. And blah, blah. You know, next thing you know, you're like, I just signed up for care credit for $10,000. And, you know, I don't even know what I'm doing or, you know, who the doctor is and so forth. So you really have to take your time. Definitely go get a couple different consultations and don't jump. Those non-surgical procedures that are out there, I see that all the time. People get sucked into these med spas. They see the before and after marketing pictures. Mm. Next thing they know, they've spent thousands of dollars on a procedure that doesn't work.
Right. Yeah. And then they wasted money, time, and they still look the same.
Yes. And it would break my heart. And so I was like, I'm going to start coaching people and educating them before they visit the doctor, before they go to the med hospital. So at least they had the heads up and they would know before they go in, like, hey, this procedure is on a scale of 1 to 10, it may get me a 2. Because if you're going to, you know, this is people's hard earned money. And I saw it all the time. People would come in and, you know, they're like, I've been saving up.
Right. So what do you think are like the top three things that women should keep in mind, you know, that you work with women before they make that, you know, leap decision to invest in themselves with plastic surgery?
Well, I think obviously I would say it always is going to be do your research. So look into the procedures that you're looking at and then ask questions. Ask questions. That's a big one. When you go in, look at before and after photos, specific to people that look like you. Take a look at the doctors, see if there's any, you know, malpractice or anything that's sitting on that doctor's background. So do background check and see what's going on. And then do a comparison. So make sure you go to a couple. Don't just go to the first one. Go to a couple consultations and then sit back and then take your time. That's a big one. Like, take your time in the decision process.
Right.
Because the other thing too is, it's depending on what you get done, there's a whole, you know, there's the whole aftercare, whether it's surgery or non-surgical. I mean, not everything is immediate. And so there's a big emotional component, especially when we're talking about plastic surgery. You're going to have, it's an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
So you just, you know, you got to plan. That would be my other big one. Plan, make sure you have the plans in place, so that you set yourself up for success, because you want it to be a good experience. And it can be. Like, I mean, what I love so much about that industry, I fell in love with it, were the people and the stories. I mean, there was, and I talk about some of them in the book. I mean, it was just, they were beautiful. And to have people that could transform themselves in their confidence level, and they felt so good. Like, there was one story I talked about, and these are ones that just stuck out to me, but it was a young man. He was in his early 20s and he had gynecomastia, and which is, you know, the enlargement of the breast, the male breast. And he never dated, like, went to college, like, was in his dorm room, never went out, never took his shirt off, was so insecure. And he was a super good looking dude. Like, I was like, wow. And I'm like, we are going to help you. Like, I'm so excited for him. And I swear to God, I almost fell out when he came in, like, after like his 6-week post-op. I was like, I am mad about it. And you could just tell, like, his swag was on, like, he was like feeling good. And he was like, I was like, you dating? He's like, girl, I'm dating a couple. I was like, yes, yes. So it was like those type of stories that, and I have thousands of them, but it was those type of things that I loved being just a little part of the transformation, because I was able to help people kind of get out of their shell and talk through it. And then on the flip side, I'd have the other people that were like, they've come in, they've had 10 procedures. I'm like, girl, what you doing?
Okay.
Right. Come on. Right. You gotta do some deep soul searching here.
I think it's good too. Yeah. I think it's good to have somebody in your corner, even though at the time you may not think they're in your corner when they're telling you, like, you've done enough. Like, please stop coming back, you know? Yeah.
You've and the good enough. Doctors will, the good doctors will do that, but they're not all good. And that's the thing. I think we grew up, I mean, I'm 50. I think we grew up in a time where everybody trusted the doctor. We can't do that.
Right. I
mean, there's plenty of doctors that should have retired and be on the golf course. And then you've got other ones that are, you know, spent so much money in these pieces of equipment and so forth that who knows what they're selling you. You know, and I hate to say that, but that's just the reality. There is a there's a sales component to medicine. Elective, these are elective procedures and got to pay the bills. So just be careful where you're going.
Yes. Well, thank you for coming on. Where can everybody get your book? What is the name of your book and where can they go?
My book is called Blue Collar Beauty, Confessions of a Plastic Surgery Coach, and you can get it on Amazon.
All right. Well, there you have it. Michelle Emick, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
Pleasure's mine.
Hey, boobies. If you don't know, now you know. We got a Booby Squad hotline. That's right. A place just for you to make your mark, to speak it with your chest and say how you feel. Ask us a question. Tell us a story about what's been going down in your life or give your opinion on a recent episode. Whatever it is, send it in and who knows, maybe you will be a segment topic on the next episode. Click the link in this week's episode description or hop on over to my Instagram at amandayoa.official and click the link in my bio and throw it down. Can't wait to hear from you, boo. All right, now back to the episode. All right, so switching gears, I'm going to talk about 'tis the season to wax our vaginas. La 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 la. 'Tis the season to wax our vaginas. La 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 la. The pool is calling, the beach is calling. La 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 la. Okay, so now that I've scared you all away. Today, or this, you know, it is now May. So as we all know, vacation is approaching, warmer weather is approaching. Are you a wax girly? I know for me, I love getting a good wax. Love it. There's nothing like it. I mean, no matter how good of a razor you have, a wax is where it's at. Okay. So I talked to my girl, Brittany, over at Perfect Wax in Southampton, PA. If you're in the Philly area, Southampton's not too far away. Go see your girl, Brittany. She will shape you up like no other. But I wanted to say, like, you know, I thought about it for myself because I remember as a first timer going to get wax. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what to do. How does one prep for a wax? You know, like, should I let it grow out a little bit? Should I just keep it all natural? Like I didn't know. I didn't know what to expect. So here are, from Brittany at Perfect Wax Southampton, three do's and three don'ts when it comes to getting a wax this waxing season. So here's the three do's. Number one, question answered, grow out the hair. Stop shaving for about 2 to 3 weeks before your appointment. The more hair that grows out, the smoother the wax will be. Could not agree with that anymore because there was a time where I didn't grow it out and I had to come back because there was nothing to grab, right? Like common sense, but sometimes, you know, you don't think of these things. So grow out the hair. Number two, exfoliate. Exfoliate and hydrate. In those weeks of you growing out your hair, it's best to exfoliate the area with either a sugar scrub or a body brush 2 to 4 times a week. Plus drink plenty of water. When your skin is hydrated, the hair follicle slides out easier. Interesting. So there you go. Make sure you're hydrated and make sure you exfoliate before you go. Number three, take a chill pill. I couldn't agree more. If you are really nervous about the pain, take a pain reliever about 30 minutes before the appointment. It can help alleviate some of the pain. I didn't know that. See, I would have thought that you couldn't take a pain reliever because I've always believed that like a pain reliever, you know, it thins out your blood or what have you. So take a chill pill. If you're really nervous, take a pain reliever about 30 minutes before the appointment. Now, I will say from experience for me, and I don't know, like, I feel like my pain tolerance is up there. Sorry if you guys hear background noise of chips rummaging around. My 5-year-old is home and is digging through the box of chips to pick a chip so he can have a snack. Will you pick a chip and let's go?
No.
So take a chill pill. Now, I will say, you know, from experience, if you are scared, there's really nothing to be scared of. I mean, you're getting a wax and it's a very sensitive part of your area. So, or your body. So yes, it's going to hurt a little bit, right? Going to feel a little uncomfortable, but all in all, it's really not that bad. I would say the worst of the entire experience is probably the lips, which I feel like they do at the same time, if I'm not mistaken. But that's the most like, oh, home run. You know what I mean? Like that's the one that gets you. Everything else, like now I get the Brazilian, so I'm bare front to back. I mean, when I tell you they do everything. Like, yes, your butthole, include it. And to me, I don't even like really feel that. Now, some of you may have like a sensitive area near your butthole, so that might be worse. I don't know. But for me, the worst is the two lippy poos. So just take a chill pill. If you're worried about the pain, take some pain reliever. Okay, so here are the three don'ts. Number one, do not drink alcohol or smoke weed before your appointment. Alcohol thins your blood, which can cause more bleeding. Weed can actually heighten your nerves instead of relax them. And she wrote in parentheses, speaking from experience. So that might backfire on you. You think, oh, let me take a little puffy puff and then go and get my hoo-ha waxed. You might end up in a full-blown meltdown and have to run out of there with no pants on. Who knows? But let's not get ourselves in that predicament. So don't show up drunk and don't do a little puffy puff before your appointment. Number two, no tanning. No sun tanning or spray tanning before your appointment. Sun exposure can lead to sensitive or burnt skin, which can lead to really burned and irritated skin after a wax. No spray tanning before. The wax will simply remove the tan from your skin. So, I mean, if you're a gal who doesn't cover that up when you get a tan, you know, you might want to keep that in mind. But even like the bikini area, yeah. So see, you might want to wait, do the wax first, then the tan. So wax, tan, no tan, wax. Otherwise, you're going to have some white areas down in your bikini and everyone will be like, what the hell's going on down there? Don't waste your wax. Number three, don't waste your waxer's time. I love this one. At the end of the day, you know what you got yourself signed up for. Just trust your girl and let her coach you through the wax. If you're nervous about a Brazilian, try a bikini wax. A bikini line instead, which I feel like that would be a good, if you're really nervous about that, would be a good first step. I did not do that. Your girl is like all in at all times. So I'm like, rip me bare, baby. I want the Brazilian, my first time ever. I gotta say, my first wax gal, I forget her name. I loved her so much. She was from where Rihanna was from. And she looked, I've said this to her and she like finished my sentence before I even got it all out. I'm like, did anyone ever tell you that you look? She's like, I look like Rihanna. I'm like, yes. She's like, yeah, I get it all the time. Gorgeous. She had like green eyes, dark skin. Oh my God, she was gorgeous. But I loved her. She walked me through everything. I don't know if I would have had such a great experience had it not been for her. And Brittany is amazing. So if you're a first timer, Brittany will definitely walk you through. But I said to her, I'm like, by wasting time, what are some examples that you've experienced with this so I can give my community, the girls listening, as an example? And she's like, you know, like look like booking in a Brazilian and then chickening out the last second and canceling the appointment. So I'm like, oh, I get it. So, you know, really think it over. I think it's great. I think it makes you feel like it's just that little touch of luxury that just makes you feel so good about yourself. And it just, unless you've experienced it, you'll never know the difference between shaving and waxing. So check out your girl, Brittany, Perfect Wax, Southampton, PA. If you're in the mood this tanning season, this sunbathing season, this vacationing season, and you want to look very tailored down below, check out your girl, Brittany, at Perfect Wax. She'll hook you up. But there's your three do's and don'ts. And, you know, also I want to say, and this is like, we were talking about this. I did an event for Badass Reborn. I was a speaker and it was held at Perfect Wax in Southampton. So Brittany was the co-host of that event. She hosted the space and we were talking and I said, you know, she's like, once you've seen one, you've seen them all. And I was like, well, that's really good to hear because a lot of women feel self-conscious about their vajayjays, you know, and it might hinder them from going and treating themselves to a luxury such as a bikini wax or a Brazilian wax, you know? And I think it just, you know, adds a little touch to you know, how you feel about yourself. If you have a romantic partner, could be something special that you do for them, you know, but a lot of people feel self-conscious because they don't want to have their hoo-ha spread eagle in front of this person that they've maybe never met in their entire life. So she's like, you know, you've seen one, you've seen them all. And I thought about that and I'm like, you know what? I said, well, I got to tell you, I feel like, yes, you've seen one, you've seen them all. But at the same time, have you really? Because I have been my entire life with the understanding that all vaginas look the same. I know it's a horrible revelation. And I seen something somewhere, I think it was a comedy stand-up where, or no, actually, I'll tell you where it's from exactly, because me and my girlfriends call ourselves the PPP. I'll get to that in a moment. We seen this graph of different vaginas and we were all pointing out which one ours looked like. And I'm looking around like, everyone has a different vagina. Everyone's vagina looks different. I would have never known that. Never in my life. I thought they were all the same. Now, some vajayjays have that extra little bit of skin that some of us like to label as quote unquote roast beef. Now, this is where I went wrong in life, where I was influenced by the male culture of their misconceptions of the vagina. I always assumed, and this was up until recently, that when you had a vagina like that, your shit was blown out. Like you were a floozy, like you got around. Okay. And that is why you made a choice and turned your vagina into that. Otherwise, everything was tucked away and looked all prim and proper. Little did I know, to my ignorance, some people are just born that way. Some people have innies and some people have outies, and both are beautiful. And how dare me think? And again, this goes back to who taught me. I grew up with a bunch of boys and they always, she got around, blah, blah, blah. She got roast beef, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I want to sincerely from the bottom of my heart apologize to any of my girlies listening, any of my boobies who might have an outie vagina. I just want to let you know that your vagina is the most beautiful vagina. And don't you feel any different about your hoo-ha. And don't you let that hold you back from going and getting it waxed because you deserve it. Okay. But I was this I found out maybe a couple years ago. Okay. But that's like, hello. I went most of my adult life thinking that all vaginas look the same. So me and my friends, you know, pointed all vaginas out on this chart. And I should probably have like a vagina meter of how many times I said the word vagina in this episode. But anywho, we had a chart and we all pointed them out and we were just in awe at how beautiful our vajayjays were. So we labeled ourselves the pretty pussy posse. And we have a group text with PPP and that's what we go by now. Nobody knows. I mean, now you all know because I just shared it with everybody. But, you know, I got to say, my group of friends, we all got beautiful vaginas. So there you have it, my friends. You know, and again, I apologize to my ignorance. It was what I was taught. It was what I was influenced to believe. And how dare me? How dare me not do my research, right? How dare me go on with that assumption? But, you know, what can you do? All right. Well, that about wraps it up. We've talked about just about everything under the sun. So until next time, check me out on the gram. Comment on this week's episode. Let me know what you thought. I don't need to know what your vagina looks like. But let me know if you ever gotten a wax. If you want to go to the Kentucky Derby with me, all the things. If you want to become a part of our SEG hotline segment, if you got a story untold, bachelorette party gone wrong, Tinder date gone awry, sick of your kids, whatever it may be, comment. There's a link in my description, or you can text your girl at 215-795-5352. There you have it. All right. I will see you next time. Stay inspired. And that's a wrap on today's episode, girlfriends. But wait, before you go, I got a few things for you to do real quick. Number one, drop us a review. Your feedback is gold and helps us grow and bring the show to more amazing listeners just like you. Number two, subscribe. If you haven't already, what are you waiting for? Subscribe to our podcast. This way, you'll never miss out on another amazing episode. And number three, join our VIP email list. I mean, are you ready for some exclusive content, sneak peeks, and special goodies? Well, then sign up. Trust us. It's where the real party happens. Your support keeps this show roaring. Thanks for tuning in. And remember, together we create that next level self. Okay, I'll let you go now. Bye-bye.